From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Harry Overly got an interesting call one day from Sunmade, the classic raisin company. You know the one, red box, image of a woman holding a bunch of grapes in the sun. It's one of the most well-known brands in America. And the company said, hey, we are looking for a new president and CEO. Interested? And Harry said, well, let's see.
I kept bringing up one question for them, which was, what is your appetite for risk? Because the more homework I did, the more that I understood that the raisin industry was in trouble.
Raisin consumption had been on the decline. And even worse, while Sunmade raisin production is all happening in America, raisin production in other countries is on the rise and happening for far cheaper. That means Sunmade was getting squeezed on both ends.
So 20 years ago, the U.S. represented 45% global market share of raisins. Today, they're less than 20.
If they wanted to turn this thing around, changes were going to need to be made. That's why Harry was asking about their tolerance for risk. It was time to think differently about how Sunmade operates and even who Sunmade is for. Harry got the answers he wanted and officially joined Sunmade in November of 2017. He had a lot of work cut out for him, but he knew he had at least one thing on his side. Sunmade may have been a declining brand, but it was a brand everyone knew, and in many cases, a brand that everyone loved. I mean, this is one of the first brands that parents introduced to their kids. I know it's true for me as the father of a 3.5-year-old who absolutely loves raisins, and that means Sunmade is working with some big advantages.
I can't name one snack brand that would have that type of emotional equity in it, as Sunmade does. I really can't, if you step back and think about it.
But there are some dangers inherent in a brand like this, which is, you know, you can't screw it up. People will hate you if you get it wrong. So Harry had his work cut out for him. And frankly, as we talk here in the first part of 2019, that work has just begun. Usually on Problem Solvers, we look at someone who has enacted a solution and then got to see it played out in the real world. Harry and Sunmade, however, are really at the beginning of their journey. But given how unique this brand is and how strategically Harry is thinking about what comes next, I wanted to take you into his thinking and his process. And then, in the coming years, we can all see how it plays out together. Because, you know, it's Sunmade. It's visible. We'll see it everywhere we shop. So, what comes next? We'll get into it all right after the break. If you want to take risks and solve problems, you need insurance that can protect you along the way. That's what Hiscox specializes in. Hiscox is the business insurance expert and knows that every business is as unique as a fingerprint. That's why it tailors intelligent solutions to fit every business's specific needs, and as a result, leaves entrepreneurs feeling well protected. Its customer service has a 97% rating. Get a quote or purchase a policy at hiscox.com. That's HISCOX.com. All right, we're back. So Harry is the new-ish CEO and president of Sunmade and knows a thing or two about the food industry. His last job was as CEO of Bertolli Olive Oil for North America, and prior to that, he was chief customer officer for Treehouse Foods, the largest private label company in the world. It's a $7 billion company that most people haven't heard of. And so when Harry first looked at Sunmade, he saw real opportunity.
Likely there's a really good opportunity to bring this back to life just by reminding people of what it is. And then if we can innovate moving forward, we can build more and more success into the business.
So Harry steps in and starts evaluating the brand and the opportunity, and he sees a couple big problems right away. One of them is that Sunmade is reaching people at very spaced out times in their lives. It's either when they're eating raisins as a little kid, and then when their new parents buying raisins for their little kids, or when their grandparents buying raisins for their little grandkids. And the only people who seem to be buying raisins to simply snack on, like throughout the day or whatever, is the older generation, which, hey, Sunmade is happy for the business, but that is not a growing demographic. So to fix this, Harry decides Sunmade is going to need to do two things. First, it's going to need to become relevant. Start speaking in a relatable voice and position itself in a way that feels meaningful to people. And then, number two, it's going to have to start producing new products that can appeal to millennial consumers and also follow children as they grow older and become interested in different snacks, essentially filling in the gaps between just eating raisins when there's a baby in the house. So let's understand how he approached both of these projects, because they're separate but very related, and Sunmaid is approaching both of them methodically. So first, okay, the branding. Now, when you think of branding for raisins, what do you think of? Likely, I'm going to guess, you think of these guys.
Honey, are you playing with your food again?
Yep, it's the California Raisins. They first appeared in commercials in 1986. This was this animated raisin R&B group, in case you don't remember or weren't alive, I guess. And as Harry would discover, a lot of people thought that the California Raisins were the product of Sunmaid. So people keep saying to him, hey, bring back the California Raisins. But it's complicated. First of all, Sunmaid didn't actually make the California Raisins. They were actually the creation of the raisin industry at large, kind of how like Got Milk is a milk industry trade campaign today. And the California Raisins are a little tied up right now.
There was some infighting within the industry, which resulted in litigation all over the place. And those assets are owned by the state of California. The state of California was part of a group that was being sued by some of the people, or was involved in the litigation. I'll just leave it at that. And therefore, you know, those assets have pretty much been shelved until we find a way to work around, you know, the litigation constraints.
For now, not an option. But Sunmaid does have its iconic box and woman holding those grapes. I asked Harry if he was tempted to bring her to life or somehow update her, because she does look pretty old school. And he said that that had actually been tried before. Back in 2007, Sunmaid created a campaign with an animated version of the Raisin Woman. I just dug it up, and it's creepy.
Hollywood, entertainment capital of the world, where everybody is healthy and fit. And just to the north is the San Joaquin Valley, where the California sunshine turns fresh grapes into Sunmaid raisins.
So that voice you're hearing is the grape girl. She's like sauntering through this field, and she's got this terrible, bad 3D animation. It looks just lifeless and weird. And what's the connection between Hollywood and raisins? None of it makes sense. So, okay, anyway, the point is, mistakes have been made. Opportunities lost. What to do now? Harry brings in a branding team, which didn't really exist at Sunmaid, and they start looking at what they have to work with and what people's perceptions of Sunmaid and its packaging and branding are.
This was the biggest challenge we probably had when we were developing the brand. Recognizing that your biggest source of volume was the greatest generations and the baby boomers, but yet you want to shift your core target in all your communication towards today's millennial sets of parents, the creative team and my marketing team that I put in place had the challenge of how do we find a way to communicate to the millennial group that does not alienate the baby boomers or greatest generation, right? Doesn't put them off.
Sunmaid starts testing different ideas. They wonder if health and science is a good way to go. For example, Sunmaid raisins are non-GMO, and millennial consumers are famously interested in what's in their food. But Sunmaid discovers that this is actually something of a live wire. People say they already trust Sunmaid raisins, so if the brand starts focusing on stuff like non-GMO and how it isn't processed, it turns out to just make people wonder, like, wait a second, did something change? Was this company not what I thought it was? So Harry realizes, no, that is not a direction to go in. They also start testing messaging about how the raisins are grown by U.S. farmers and stuff about the authenticity of the brand. But in the end, their conversations with all demographics lead to one dominant theme: nostalgia. People remember raisins from their childhood. So Sunmaid built a campaign around that, which just recently launched, actually. And here's a clip from one of the commercials.
Remember childhood? Chasing butterflies and living free and wild? Remember these little red boxes and the sweet little Sunmaid raisins?
Anyway, you've got this adorable girl running around and just saying nostalgic things and tying raisins to it. It's straight up the middle. And Harry says the magic of this spot was how well it reached both millennials and baby boomers.
Both groups individually thought the messaging was designed for them.
So, okay, now Sunmaid has a sense of what its voice is and how it can play into its consumers' lives. It's about simplicity and nostalgia and how raisins fit into it all. Now let's talk about product. Harry wants Sunmaid to start creating products that reach people at different stages of their lives. Because the way he sees it, a kid might eat raisins until they're like 6 years old, but then they're going to start being interested in other snacks. And so they stop eating raisins, which means their parents stop eating raisins. And then the next time that kid will buy a pack of Sunmaid is decades later when they have their own kids. That's no good. Sunmaid needs new products that follow people through their lives. And as it happens, Sunmaid had actually developed a new product. It came out not long before Harry took over. Maybe you've seen it in stores. It's a sour raisin, which tastes like a Sour Patch Kid, but without all the extra sugar or gummy stuff. And Harry looks at this thing and thinks, yes, great idea, but also a missed opportunity. Because this new sour raisin is placed in supermarkets with all the other raisins.
We have this fantastic product that is just not in the right place. It is not packaged the right way. We're not communicating the right way. And we're not selling it in the right part of the store to really maximize what its value could be. And so what we did with that is we started transcending that to say, okay, you know, we're going to align this thing to compete. Because what do you want? You want the snack for your kids. You want it to be somewhat of a sweet treat at times. And we said, we need to put this thing as the first and only whole fruit snack into the fruit snack section and go head to head against fruit roll-ups and gushers and all of these other gummy candies.
Step back and think about what he's saying here. Harry is recognizing that Sunmaid as a brand is stuck inside one food category and that this sour raisin is actually an opportunity to go compete in a completely different category. This isn't an alternative to raisins, it's an alternative to fruit roll-ups. So they're repackaging and rethinking this product. The final version of it will start appearing in stores this year, and when it does, Sunmaid's advertising will shift from just talking about nostalgia to talking about this new product. But that's, of course, not the big idea. Sour raisins are really just the start of a new way of thinking, the first step in Sunmaid's colonization of other food categories. So the question really is, where else can Sunmaid play? Harry and his team have approached this question in a super methodical way, so I'm just going to have him walk you through it all the way through.
We know that for certain subgroups of millennial parents, that there is a good percentage of them that buy both within dried fruit and within the fruit snacks aisle. So we know we've got some overlap in buyers there. So the benefit that we have is, okay, well, if you know Sunmaid in the dried fruit aisle, and you're in the fruit snack aisle, so putting a Sunmaid product in fruit snacks, you're already going to know and trust that. The other benefit is to all those folks that don't go down the dried fruit aisle and may not participate in that category, now you're seeing Sunmaid in a different part of the store with a new and exciting product, and we capture that emotional connection. We capture that thought and hopefully convert them to buy the product. And as we continue to grow that, what we're doing is we're really spending time studying, okay, what are all the product attributes that are important to what the Sunmaid brand umbrella would look like. And then what do we see today in terms of not only just raisins and Sunmaid, but they are separate, as well as kind of just dried fruit and Sunmaid. What products are in the store or in the basket with consumers today or with shoppers today? Where are they shopping? A lot on the perimeter of the store, a lot still coming into the center store. You know, so we see no surprise overlap with nut mixes. No surprise overlap with granola bars and protein bites, protein bars, obviously other dried fruit, fresh fruits, applesauces actually came through. Because you imagine, they're buying for kids. So these are all those pouch products that you see. You know, dark chocolate was one that actually came into play. Not surprising because dark chocolate is a healthier version of chocolate. And so we start mapping out all of these various categories in which we know our consumer is engaged in one way or another today. And then what we do is we start applying certain filters because, you know, we can't go everywhere. So we look at what is the size of the category, how many brands are prevalent in the category. So what's the competitive set look like? What's the private label competition look like? How trade sensitive or price sensitive is the category? It's thinking essentially of all of those things. Well, and even the emotional space. So what is the brand positioning of all the brands that compete in that category? So we're looking at all of these various attributes to ascertain, okay, where do we think we can come in and add the most value to the category and compete and win? And that has allowed us to essentially narrow down four different categories or so that we're looking at over the next 3 years on our quest to put $100 million of growth on the business.
Big goal there, huh? put $100 million in growth on the business in the coming few years. And to do that, they're not just taking random guesses or developing products that they think their consumers will like. They're seeing where their brand awareness is strongest and where their customer is already shopping, and will then be developing products that have the greatest chance for success. And now, another interesting question. What will the packaging look like in these new categories? Because, you know, the sun-made packaging is iconic. Red box, woman with the grapes. And in the company's branding surveys, they discovered that people really, 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 really don't want that to change.
So we go in and we talk to millennials, we talk to baby boomers, and we explore different options. And overwhelming feedback was, do not touch that package. And we literally had somebody say, if you were to change the red box of Sunmade, it would be like changing the American flag, verbatim. And we've used that several times when we talk to accounts.
Yeah, it's great when talking to accounts, but Sunmade could easily get boxed in by this, right? I mean, here's a consumer that likes things just the way they are, even though the way they are isn't really working. But Harry has flexibility here because he's not just thinking about modernizing raisins. He's thinking about entirely new places on the shelf for Sunmade to speak.
What I was really interested in was not in so much of, hey, we could change the red box. It was what does Sunmade need to look like when we go into other categories? Because it's not always going to look like that in this red box format. And that was my particular interest outside of understanding, hey, are we talking enough on the package or the communication points or the graphics? And there were a couple of things that came out of that was, if you're going to go and you're going to do something different, you better have red, you better have the girl, and you better have the yellow Sunmade.
There, that's better. People recognize the red, the logo, and the brand name in yellow. That leaves plenty of flexibility to develop other products and draw people in with the same Sunmade branding, but without making them feel like, you know, the American flag got changed on them. So that's more or less the plan for Sunmade now. And let's review. First, they identified how this brand is relevant to an audience. The answer was nostalgia, so it began speaking in that voice with a media campaign, reminding people of how Sunmade fit into their childhood. Next, it identified where its existing products fell short of being part of people's lives, and then began to develop products that will fill that gap. And they did that by understanding the shopping and eating habits of its consumers and identifying openings where that Sunmade brand equity would carry value in entirely new ways. And then finally, they identified what parts of their branding were most important so that they could draw a very clear line between what Sunmade has always stood for and the new products it's introducing. So what comes next? That remains to be seen. But personally, I'm rooting for at least a small return of the California raisins. Come on, raisin industry. We have grape expectations. Sorry about that. And that's our episode. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to Problem Solvers wherever you get your podcasts. We come out with a new episode every Monday morning, and you don't want to miss it. And hey, be kind. Pass the show along to an entrepreneur friend who could use a boost. And did you solve a problem that would be good for this show? Let me know about it. Visit my website, jasonfeifer.com, JasonFeifer.com, where you can find my contact information and all sorts of other valuable info. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media. Be sure to visit entrepreneur.com for all your entrepreneurship needs. And even better, subscribe to our magazine, which is just full of the smartest entrepreneurs solving the toughest problems. My name is Jason Feifer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Thanks for listening. And hey, let's go solve some problems.